Hey guys, it's Steve from twinbetterhq.com. Today I'm interviewing Jenny Brezina. It's an audio interview today. We weren't quite ready, and moons weren't lined up to do a video. But anyway, I really hope you like it. Jenny's a specialist in swimmers' shoulders and a lot of really helpful information. If you're a swimming coach, this is a really handy one to watch. Really hope you enjoy it. I had a lot of fun chatting to her. So here she is.
Hi Jenny, how are you going?
Hi Steve, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Wonderful.
As I mentioned before, I'm currently on a little bit of a break, but you know, no rest for the wicked, so I'm keeping working. So tell me all about what you're up to.
Yes, well, I have to say that I'm also on a little bit of a holiday or vacation myself. I'm down in sunny Florida and very fortunate to be both on holiday and then also laying the groundwork for some business opportunities as well. So I fully understand working on vacation.
Fantastic.
So Aqueous all started when I was working in orthopedic sports medicine. And I was privileged enough to work alongside some really excellent physiotherapists, as you say over there, physical therapists, as we say over here in the States. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we had a clinic that put in a pool, and I was charged with figuring out how to utilize that pool in a different way besides just traditional aquatic therapy. And my background, both personally and professionally, was in swimming. I coached as well. And I knew how to access that population. And at the time, getting cameras in the water was still the really big thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the big challenge. Can we actually get some video footage underwater? So we found a way to make that happen. And while I was working alongside the physios and the sports medicine doctors, I realized that there was a huge gap in understanding and education between the swimmers, the parents, the coaches, and the medical team. Yeah. And that's when I realized that there was an opportunity to do really good work. And that's a huge motivator for me, is to be able to do really good work and do good by athletes and by the medical team.
I must admit, being a coach myself, there is a whole lot of difference between seeing what's above the water and below the water. We use an underwater camera where mm-hmm. I coach, and for the kids to be able to see, and not just the kids, but some of the older swimmers as well, to be able to see how their body moves under the water makes a huge improvement. So from a sports science perspective, it would be a great advantage for you to understand exactly what's going on as they swim, while they swim.
Yes. And at the time I was doing my master's work, also in exercise science. And I am a sports scientist and a corrective exercise specialist. So my perspective and my specialty is understanding how the body is moving throughout the stroke cycle within that aquatic environment, and how we can manipulate the musculoskeletal system to perform its best or to recover properly. And while I was doing that work, that's where I saw the biggest opportunity, is the fact that particularly in the U.S. market, and especially when we first started, is that quality sports science, both in terms of equipment as well as education, is not readily accessible to the vast majority of the athletes. Certainly at the Olympic level, we have the best of the best. But since we have such a large swimming community here in this country, the way that it's set up is that each individual club pretty much runs as its own business, or you're part of a little bit of a larger swimming community or swimming organization. Yep. But even that is its own business. Yep. Which I've learned is different than some of our other swimming communities throughout the world.
Well, in saying that, I must admit, Australia is along the same lines.
Yes.
It is very much if you want to be a coach, then you're a coach. It's not really, there's not a whole lot of progression.
Right.
And especially when it comes to sports science. Mm-hmm. For example, I'm not an overly big fan of the way that you become a coach in Australia. It's a weekend course. It's a certain amount of hours with another coach. And just because they're a coach doesn't mean they're a good coach.
Yes, isn't that always, that's always the struggle, right? And that's what I was seeing in the clinical world too, is just because I was standing alongside who I consider to be a great physiotherapist, I mean, very talented, very well educated, very respected, when I put them in front of an aquatic athlete, they had no idea what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did not understand the unique challenges that came with that athlete and with those movement patterns in the water. Mm. And that is what Aquia specializes in.
Right.
So what we do is we make high quality sports science, both in terms of education as well as, or in terms of educated professionals as well as technology, and we make it accessible. We know that according to the research, I mean, there's definitely research that's backing this, some of the top 8 reasons that coaches are interested in even discussing video analysis or sports science, particularly here in the U.S., biomechanics is number one, but sports medicine and injuries are at the very bottom of the list. And yet, swimming has some of the highest injury rates, though. So that's how we even see that the gap in education continues. It persists.
So just on that, for example, we recently changed our program to include a lot more butterfly, purely for the basis of improving fitness and strength.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as a blowout, we've received feedback on a lot of kids receiving shoulder injuries and, you know, pulling up going, oh, I've got a sore shoulder and, you know, that. And you sort of, as a coach, think, is it growing pains? Is it a shoulder injury?
Oh, I love that. I love the phrase growing pains.
Yeah. So from a sports scientist perspective, what can coaches look for to distinguish between being a growing pain or the kid just going, oh, I don't want to do it, I'm just tired? You know, is there anything coaches can see? Or
absolutely. And I think this is where the growing field of sports science itself is charged with educating the community about what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a sports scientist that specializes in nutrition, in more exercise physiology, lactate testing, I know is particularly popular. Muscular modeling, muscular movement patterns, which is more of my specialty. And any time that we are looking at an athlete that's saying growing pains, I always look holistically first and then funnel into the specifics.
Mm-hmm.
So holistically speaking, what is their biological age versus their developmental age? They might be 14, but they might have the body of a child still, or they might have the body of a grown human. But developmentally, it might look different. So there's always a gap between biological and development when we're dealing with adolescent athletes. And then I start to look at some of the other factors that have led them to saying that they're having symptoms. Mm-hmm. What's the culture of the team? What's the culture of their schooling? What's the culture of their support system, which is typically their home life? What is the culture of their social life within that team?
Mm-hmm.
And typically that will offer us some clues about when they will speak up about their symptoms and what stage they might already be in terms of dysfunctional movement or performance negligence, really, rather than performance enhancement. And then from there, we will take a look at the stroke analysis, and we specialize in doing a 16-point analysis throughout the stroke cycle. And that's when we get more into the anatomy. So we go holistically, and then we work down into the anatomy. So let's say you're butterflyer, right? Butterfly low back injury and shoulder injury, you know, two of your top 5 most common swimming injuries.
I'm hearing you. Two of your most common.
Yeah. And typically the way that, you know, especially the U.S. health market or healthcare industry works, and I know Australia's is somewhat similar. We do kind of have mimicking systems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As soon as you have pain, you go into the healthcare system, and you might go directly to a family physician or a general care practitioner, and you get some type of medication or you get shut down is the phrase that we use a lot here. Uh-huh. You do something that treats the symptoms and yet not the problem.
Exactly.
So now I still have a 14-year-old that is probably having some type of developmental challenge, just growing into a new body and still expecting a lot out of it. So what we do is we use the sports science, the data that we get, the education we have, our perspective in terms of human movement, and we use that data as a tool to support the coaching staff, the performance staff, and the healthcare staff. So we will go in and look at that athlete and say, okay, you're having pain, but what part of the stroke cycle are you having pain at? And uh-huh. what is happening along that kinematic chain, that muscular chain that is probably contributing to that? And if the answer is everything looks great, every musculoskeletal relationship is solid, equal mm-hmm. and opposite everywhere, then, you know, it's time to go and seek that medical attention. Maybe then there's a joint structure issue. Maybe then there is a little bit more of a need for some type of advanced surgical intervention. But I can say that about 99% of the time, that's not the case. There's typically something going on within the anatomy that we need to fix alongside their stroke technique. And we typically spend about an hour with an athlete and symptoms improve just about 100% of the time within that 1 hour. So that tells us that while the problem may persist, and while certainly the body takes time to improve in any measure. I mean, that's why swim season's so long. It takes time to improve. The body, when done properly, the body can heal itself and it can perform better and it can swim better and it can recover better. And that's really how we see the benefit of sports science, is that we can use it to, you know, meet those top needs and top interests for coaches, the biomechanics, the exercise physiology, the recovery, the race analysis. We can do all of that. And yet the biggest strength that we have is accessing those huge gaps that we know are important and we know are negatively impacting our athlete's experience. And yet that education gap just keeps it at the bottom end of people being interested. So mm-hmm. that is how at Aquius we use sports science. We really use it to support the athletes getting deliberate treatment, having very specific healthcare interventions, supporting the coaching staff and performance staff, yep. and ultimately providing a really great experience for the athletes, because you can swim for your entire life, and we don't like to see athletes burning out at 14.
Yes, exactly. And that's just it. When, like, excuse me, if you're a coach and you're coaching, you know, like, yeah, my ideal situation is I've got 30 kids in the pool at one time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tailor that whole session, you know, to each individual. Exactly. Yeah, and it makes it hard when you have two or three kids that stick their hand and go, oh, my shoulder hurts when I pull freestyle, or my shoulder hurts when I do butterfly. Yeah, you sort of go, okay, well, see how you go, do freestyle for the next couple of weeks,
right.
and back off, and you know, and you play all those different cards. At the end of the day, it doesn't fix the problem. You're actually dancing around the problem, and you're not going, well, hang on a second, why are you having these sort of shoulder problems? Why does your shoulder hurt? Where does your shoulder hurt? When does your shoulder hurt?
Right.
You know, does it hurt when you do breaststroke? Does it hurt when you do freestyle? Does it hurt when you do butterfly only? When right. is it, you know, and as a coach, you can't spend the time with that one athlete or with that one swimmer when you've got a whole other bunch of another 29 swimmers in the pool. I'm fortunate enough that I have assistant coaches and
right.
you know, we all work as a team. One of my coaches is actually a personal trainer. Another one is studying to be a sports scientist like yourself. So, you know, we have two on deck, so I can say to them, righto, well, look, you've got the expertise. You go and sort that out and give me the detail mm-hmm. and come back to me. But, I mean, it would really help to be able to go, well, hang on a second, where can I learn more about how I can sort of prevent these injuries rather than having to just dance around and say, oh, you'll be right, mate, tough it out. So you actually provide training services as well, is that correct?
Yes, so we will actually, to speak to your last point, I think we do a disservice to coaches when we expect them to be able to do it all. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it does right by the profession. And I think it really overlooks the fact, the value that each one of the specialties within the entire field of human movement has. A really great coach is so much more skilled in building a relationship with an athlete than maybe I am. You know, they know what it takes, and that's their specialty, and they know what it takes to have really engaging practices, and that is their specialty, and they should be given the room to make their craft an art, absolutely. And myself as a sports scientist, you know, I did not want to be a sports medicine physician, right? So don't ask me to do a surgery. A surgeon did not go to school to understand the full rehabilitative process and the art and the science of the ins and outs of that recovery process. Exactly. So don't ask them to do that. So
I suppose looking at it from a business perspective, if you're in a business, then you will go and see an accountant to sort out your books.
Exactly.
You will go and see a marketing professional to sort out your marketing.
Exactly.
And from a coaching perspective, from what I can see, I won't try and narrow and drill down to the very finite, precise stroke movements and everything like that. I will go, okay, look, you're having a problem. Yep, I agree. It's not right. It's not cohesive to your training program. We need to look into it further. You need to see a professional that specializes in
exactly.
XYZ.
Exactly. And the biggest issue, one of the biggest issues that we see is that coaches will say, well, either our athletes aren't injured or no one's injured right now. Well, if you wait for an injury to happen, you're waiting too long.
And of course that, you know, if the injuries happen quick, shut the gate, the horse is bolted. It's too late.
Exactly.
It's gone.
Exactly.
Then that swimmer has X amount in doing rehab work or no body work at all. I have one girl at the minute who in particular cannot do any sprint work, any power work. Yeah, and she's getting disheartened. She's at a young age. She's showing a lot of potential.
I wouldn't want that.
And all she can do is kick, you know, because we're too scared to touch her upper body stuff, you know, for the sake of setting her back again. So, you know, that, and I think what you're covering and how you're doing it, that really shows the swimming community that, hey, look, there is another way to go around it.
Yes.
There's no point waiting for something to happen. Get involved before it happens.
Yes, and the biggest thing that we do, and to answer the next question, yes, so we, in terms of providing sports science services and you know, our movement planning and dysfunctional movement screenings and everything, we are a huge believer in making this experience accessible to everyone. So we will sign entire teams.
Okay.
And we will make sure to incorporate this into the culture of the entire team, which does set it apart from, say, a boutique fitness or performance company or even a boutique physiotherapy clinic. So when we look to work with a team, we look for a coaching staff that is progressive in their thinking.
Mm-hmm.
They're interested in, much like you said, they're interested in bringing in a specialist. They're interested in listening to them, and maybe, you know, practicing their craft, but allowing someone else to practice theirs as well. Mm. We are interested in the group of athletes that's not at that national level yet. You know, we know that the highest and the most elite are well taken care of.
Mm, exactly.
We really like to make the athletes that are just under that level feel like they have access to similar resources, because they should. I mean, sports science should be for everybody, and understanding human movement should be for everybody, not just the injured, not just the elite.
And not only that, but injuries happen before you hit the high level. You know, like, how many swimmers have, let's just say, Michael Phelps. His injuries, whatever he's got, even though they're in the shadows now, they've been well hidden prior to him where he is. But without a doubt, I can guarantee that he will have had injuries to his shoulders or hips or knees prior to making Olympic level.
Absolutely. And you can only, you can only work with what your present condition is.
Exactly.
And every single athlete, every single weekend warrior, every single parent, kid, elderly person, the body goes through hard times. It just goes through hard times.
Mm-hmm.
So when we actually work with a team, we get data capture at two of the peak times for performance issues to occur. And I say that because sometimes we'll be working with an injury, sometimes we won't be. Mm-hmm. So those performance issues occur during preseason and during midseason.
Mm-hmm.
So we will get data during those two sessions, and we will make sure that the athletes are set up with a movement plan and the coaches are aware of it for the remaining part of the season. So
when you say a movement plan,
mm-hmm.
do you mean as in adjusting their stroke technique, or what do you mean by a movement plan exactly?
Yes. So technical changes as well as muscular activation and strengthening changes.
Okay.
So let's say that butterfly athlete that you have is experiencing mm-hmm. shoulder pain,
mm-hmm.
right? But we go through and, you know, we do our thing, and we realize that that shoulder pain is really just the expression of symptoms that are the result of a dysfunction in her hip complex.
Okay.
Right? And it turns out that the actual issue is at her hip complex and her core stabilizing area. And basically, the water's winning,
uh-huh.
right? Going back to that environment, the water's winning, mm-hmm. and she's needing to do way too much work at the shoulder.
As in, when you say the water's winning, she's actually fighting the water instead of using her advantage.
Correct. That external environment is mm-hmm. is winning against the internal musculoskeletal environment.
Mm-hmm.
We will make sure that technical changes have been made to her stroke mm-hmm. to support that change, as well as land-based exercise and in-water training as well. So we have corrective exercises that happen in the water that we make sure our athletes know how to do during warm-up and during rest sessions in between each set. And we make sure that they are set up with that so that the body can remodel itself over the next coming weeks and handle the training, and then come back again during midseason when the body is starting to fatigue, and whether those changes need to support a performance issue. You know, maybe they're starting to gain time, maybe they're starting to fatigue early, maybe they're starting to have problems sleeping, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
Or if, you know, symptoms persist. Maybe that shoulder pain came back. You know, so that's how we actually utilize the data, and we make that accessible throughout the entire training experience. Again, different than a boutique, come in once and mm-hmm. and then go about your way. So, that's how we use it.
Yeah. Okay. So currently, you're looking at providing three different levels of certified aqueous professionals, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, so we do have a platform for education. Mm-hmm. We are currently on hold with that. You know, we worked with some really great clinicians and great coaching, mm-hmm. and we're right now spreading the word about getting more involved with the athletes and then supporting the coaching staff with that education. But certainly, we have some growth goals with that. So we do have a platform that supports the education to the masses. But right now, the way that we're utilizing that tool is to provide it to the coaching staff once we become involved with the team.
Right, yeah. Because, I mean, I must admit, the tyranny of distance and all that entails, anything I can learn from a coaching perspective to try and prevent injury before it happens.
Yes.
Ideally, say for example, you have a swimmer that's the age of 13 and mm-hmm. he or she is really quite good at, for example, butterfly. You mm-hmm. really don't want to flog them with butterfly for the next, you know, 4 years.
No.
To get them to Olympic level. So, you know, for the 4 years of doing butterfly, that's, their shoulders will be an absolute mess. So moving forward, you know, from my perspective as a coach, I want to be able to know that I am, you know, conditioning them and training them and using the best techniques possible to actually progress them forward so that they're not only just good at butterfly, for example, but they're also good at their IMs as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they can perform, you know, a 200 or 400 butterfly, but they can also do a 200 individual medley without having to worry of, oh, God, their shoulder's going to blow out. Oh, no. You know, so
well,
it's good to know.
That goes back to that movement plan as well, is that even though we have four separate strokes, we don't have four separate bodies, and we do have very similar kinematic chains that are involved across all four strokes. So if we see a dysfunction in one of the chains, and a good example would be, let's say we're having shoulder pain, and we go in and find out that it's actually an issue at the lat, as well as the mid trap and the diagonally hip external rotators, right? Mm-hmm. That is our kinematic chain. That is going to have a huge crossover between the strokes. So if we don't fix that, if we don't address that, of course there's going to be an issue with the IM and not just butterfly. And of course there's going to be an issue at the end of a training practice or a training week, because that's ultimately what we need to address.
Mm-hmm. So in your experience so far to date, have you found any standout sort of problems, or have you found anything that you've seen within your, you know, I suppose the American culture of swimming, that are glaringly obvious problems from your research? Like, is there a culture of bad knees for breaststrokers? Is there a culture of bad hips, or, you know, freestyle butterflies? Is there a bad culture of shoulders? Is there anything like that that really pops out at you currently?
Yes. In the States, I will say that we have an underdeveloped culture of seeking new expertise.
Mm-hmm.
We still actively have to fight a culture of, well, we've done this. You know, we've done this for 30 years, and our team has three Olympians, and that makes us the best ever.
It's, trust me, it's not just the US. I'm sure a lot of places around the world go, well, this is the way it was always done, so this is the way it's going to be done.
Yeah, that's our big fight. We also have a huge fight against what's the best way to say it? Against the understanding of a specialty in sports science, and an understanding of having someone that, you know, has gone through 8 years of education to understand the human movement, as opposed to a coach. And I, like I said before, that's not speaking poorly of a coach by any means. That's recognizing that there are specialties to each profession, and they are separate professions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big hurdle that we see. And I think particularly after spending an extended time in England and learning their performance culture and their healthcare culture, I think sometimes the fact that each one of our teams is a separate business, or there is a separate business running the teams, and it's up to the parents to supply both healthcare and performance and training, and, you know, it falls on the family to pay for it. That brings its own set of issues. That really does, because obviously if your household is struggling to pay health insurance and put food on the table, and you're lucky enough to swim, you're not going to have the funding to be able to go and have performance training.
Yeah.
So I think there's a few, there are a few challenges that we see. I think particularly, shoulders are just, everyone wants to talk about shoulders.
Yeah.
And what we see time and again, you know, from working with shoulder surgeons, from working with physiotherapists, from working with athletic trainers, the shoulders are typically the symptomatic shoulders are typically the result of a problem as opposed to the problem itself. Rarely do I see subacromial impingement or scapular impingement, or I'm sorry, supraspinatus impingement, and I say, okay, that's the problem. Very, very rarely. And you know, I've said it before, I've gotten some backlash, but this is definitely where I stand. I think swimmer's shoulder is kind of a clinically laissez-faire, clinically lazy diagnosis. And it's typically, swimmer's shoulder is typically the result of an issue within the diagonal chains, within the posterior chains, and within the stroke cycle, as opposed to an issue at the tendon and ligament structure.
So just on that, excuse me. So just on that, I must admit, I am a butterfly, you know, passionate. I love butterfly. I used to swim as a kid, and I just lived for doing 100 fly or 50 fly. You know, it was my dream to be able to do that sub 30 seconds. Never quite got there. Yeah, just got old and fat for some of the rest. But anyway, we'll go down that road. But so do you find with that in particular, is there, like you see some kids will actually, for lack of a better word, chop into the water. So they actually, their hands will actually force into the water. And then you see an Olympian such as Phelps or Lochte or somebody along those lines, that their hands will actually come around outside the water and their thumbs will literally nearly touch and then drop. Do you find either one of those two methods helps their shoulders, or what actually happens within the shoulder compared to those two sort of different techniques?
I might have to change my answer to the culture problem. We have a huge culture problem with athletes trying to mimic videos they see on YouTube. We have a huge problem with that. I must admit, I
will stick my hand up and say, yes, I am guilty of showing my chest. Hey, guys, this is what the Olympians are doing. You know, you need to change your focus. You don't see Olympians that are chopping into the water. You know,
I think what I can say to that point is we all must remember that those Olympians have a physiotherapist on staff, probably a chiro. Massage therapist, a sports scientist, and a performance enhancement coach, and guarantee you that every single one of them talks to each other.
And some sort of cupping specialist in one athlete's case.
Oh my goodness, the cupping conversation, yes.
Hasn't that
whoever's
exploded?
Selling cupping products, I mean, your business must be through the roof right now, so
exactly.
Enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, so to answer that question, I think, you know, we see a lot of technical skill coming from the Olympians for sure, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do what's right by the body in front of you.
Okay.
And I think that's really what it comes back to, is that if you made a technical change and you said, try to be like this swimmer, and it's not working, then you have to listen to that.
So you're saying it needs to be more along their physiological type.
Yes.
Rather than a one solution fits all.
Yes, because I guarantee you this. I guarantee you that the Michael Phelps of the world have their own physiological, anatomical issues that they deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And if we take a look at, Rod Haverlick from Swimming Technology Research, he's done, his entire career has been about measuring hand force production in athletes.
Mm.
And we time and again have so much data showing that they have flaws in their strokes, right? Mm-hmm. They have flaws in their stroke cycle. They have flaws in their training. They have huge teams within each specialty working with them.
Mm-hmm.
So they have their flaws, and they find the best way to train within those flaws and overcome them the best way possible. So the stance that we take and the way that we incorporate it with Aqueous is we make that experience accessible and available to the athletes as well. So that 13-year-old butterflyer, right? Depending on their anatomy, you know, if they bring their hands closer to each other, closer to the midline, and they happen to have a certain level of scapular movement across their thoracic cage, and they happen to have a certain amount of control across their rhomboids, mid-trap, lats, and that activation pattern happens at the right time, that might be really successful for them. Mm-hmm. My guess is a 13-year-old does not have that type of body awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So there are ways that in which we support a similar technical change with respect to the body, and that comes back to the anatomy and understanding when a joint works at its best, when a muscular is activated at its best, how to coach with cues that actually make the athlete more aware of their body, better proprioception, better understanding of activating things. And I think that is, again, going back to that question of just mm-hmm. challenges in coaching, I think empowering our coaches with better cues is something that we do really well. So let's say you and I are on deck together. I can show you exactly what I just saw and say, okay, when you're coaching this athlete or when you're coaching any athlete and you see this in the water, this is the cue you want to say, right? As opposed to kicking your hips, we can say, go and do this cue when you see this happening in the water, this cue when they're saying through the pain.
That would be so cool.
Yeah, that's how we handle that. Yeah, because otherwise, right? I mean, YouTube's great,
yeah.
But otherwise, that's the main education source, and you don't hear the conversation happening mm-mm. between
no,
the
yeah.
physiotherapist and the coach. And I guarantee you, that's happening.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, like to most coaches that actually listen to this, they will have looked at the Speedo series of swimming uh-huh. technique, or they'll have looked at Ghost,
uh-huh.
or they'll have looked at something like that and gone, "Oh, okay, yep." Well, my kids have got to get their shoulders forward more, and they've got to, you know, they've got to have their palms up further round through their stroke, or they've got their hips up through the stroke, you know. And I'll admit, I'm one of those coaches that's gone, well, hang on a second, the Olympians are doing it this way, so they're spending all the money, all the time, all the research doing it a particular way. Let's do it their way. Let's just follow what they're doing. But at the physiological time of the athlete, it might not be cohesive to do it that way.
Correct.
Yeah, correct. Wow. Oh, look, Jenny, if I had the money to follow you out to my squad, I'd do it within a heartbeat. This is awesome. I'm loving this. This is great. So, moving on.
Oh, well, I certainly appreciate that. And I, you know, hopefully with enough listeners, we could get that put together because I'd love to come out and work with your athletes. You know, sometimes there are ways for us to do it virtually. So I'm sure this won't be the last time you and I speak. And I'm just so excited to help you get this platform off the ground. I know when we were talking in the pre-show, you said, you know, four coaches, by coaches, four swimmers, by swimmers.
Exactly.
And I just love that. So I look forward to speaking again. And
no, that'd be great. So
I want
to
have a quick chat about any of this. I'm always available. You can find my contact information through aqueous.co. And I read all my emails. So I'm the one that answers them. I read them. So please feel free to reach out. I'm more than happy to have another chat with anyone.
Look, absolutely. And I'll put all your contact details on the podcast and on the video. And
awesome.
On the website. And it'll all be there for anyone to contact you whenever. So just winding up, if you were to see a young coach on the side of the pool, what would be some bits of advice you could give?
Oh, goodness. That is such a good question. I love working with young coaches because they're hungry and they don't have an ego yet. And I think, you know, yes. I think there's a negative connotation when we talk about ego, and that's not how I mean
look,
it.
I know, but I'm,
yeah,
I
think
there are a lot of coaches out there that will go, it's my way or the highway. So.
Right.
But anyway, as you were saying.
I think when you're young, Yeah, I think when you're young and you're hungry and you're of this generation that has access to podcasts and to sports science education and to continuing education, and this is very much where the industry has grown. I mean, the sports medicine and human performance industry grows at an incredible rate over the last 5 years and is positioned to grow billions and billions of dollars over the next few years. When you grew up in this culture and you have access to this, I have found that the young coaches are hungry to have these conversations and hungry to bring the best to their athletes. So I think the best advice I could say is to stay hungry and keep reaching out and keep getting educated and keep having the conversations that, you know, stem from, you know, why do we do this? And what if we did this? And I love the question, what if we did this? Because that keeps us all creative and it keeps us all asking questions. And yeah, that's how exactly. progress is made.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Aquius started because I was in a clinic and, you know, I had all the therapy toys and just, you know, you had open space and you had a pool and there was time and energy and hunger to ask the question, what if we did it this way? And, you know, Aquius is the result of that.
And I wholly and solely agree. A lot of people say, well, that's the way we always did it, so that's the way we're going to do it.
Right.
And I mean, in other roles that I've had in the past, I've gone, well, why? Why are we doing it this way? You know, what if we did this? What if we did that? What if we, and it just doesn't apply to people. It applies to life in general. If you don't look at the other things around, then you won't grow, you won't learn, you won't evolve. And as far as swimming goes, it's come a long way in the past 30, 40 years. You know, we had the skin suit era and everyone's gone, oh, skin suits, you can't go any faster. Then all of a sudden, we're going faster because people have gone that next step and gone, hang on a second, well, why did it do this in a swimsuit, but it didn't do it before? What did we change? What else did we do? What else can we do? So I think to shut your mind off is a very foolish act.
Yeah, and we live within the world of what we call elite aquatic wellness. Mm. We want you to prepare well, we want you to perform well, and we want you to recover well. And I think when you frame it that way, the question consistently comes up, are we doing it well? Can we improve? Can we improve the way our athletes are preparing? Can we improve our rest and recovery plans? And even, you know, I know I'm running over time, but I've got things to say, Steve.
Yeah, no, go.
I think from the business end, and I think particularly in both of our cultures and our setups, with each team being a business, the financial feedback of running a successful team means that your product is good. And I think that's a fight that we go up against. So if you reframe it and say, okay, is our product, so our athlete experience, is our product as good as it could be? And then you reframe it. Are we preparing well? Are we performing well? Are we recovering well? That's kind of how you break through that barrier and that mindset of, well, this is what we've always done. This is what we're going to do because it's working. Yeah. And I think particularly with our two sporting cultures, and it's different than the conversations I have with people based in Europe because it's just not how it's set up. We have to reframe it as a business, and the athlete experience is the product. And you can always, every company looks at their product and says, is it the best that it could be? And can we make it better?
And that's
what they have to do.
Yeah, and a coach has to look at themselves it doesn't sound quite right, but a coach has to look at themselves as a business manager.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
My product is developing excellent, outstanding athletes.
Yes. Okay.
So therefore I need to have the best sports scientist. I need to have the best physiotherapist, I need to have the best nutritionalist, I need to have the best human movement specialist. You can't just go, I'm a coach, yep, I'm going to coach these kids. And I think the product you're delivering and you want to put out there actually helps coaches in going, okay, well, I've produced, you know, in Australia, for example, I've produced state swimmers that have achieved first, second, or third. You know, I've had a kid in every final of every state championship race for the past 5 or 6 years. You know, so therefore, I'm a great coach. Okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. But why aren't your kids going to nationals?
Right.
Why aren't those kids going to international? Why aren't they making Olympic squads? What's happening for your kids to drop off afterwards? And I think the product that you can provide and the service that you can do will actually help coaches go, well, hang on a second. Are my kids getting to state just missing out because of human movement or because of injury or because of, you know, this, that, and the other? So I think what you're doing is a huge benefit to the coaching fraternity.
Well, I really appreciate that. And yeah, I think when we're dealing with a system where the financial cost does go back to the parents, that coach, as the business owner sometimes, or as the business manager often, will see it as, oh, well, you just want to pass it. Well, we already charged them enough, right? We get that a lot.
Yeah, we get
But if you look at it and say, okay, well, this is how we're enhancing the athlete experience, and this is what makes our club team different. You get more people. It benefits your business, and there is a return on investment for reevaluating your product and saying, what can we do better? What if we did this? You know, there is proof in numbers. So I think that the topic of running a team as a business, I think we underestimate coaches. they are business people, and I think when they see themselves as that way, those are the coaches that, you know, we work really well with, because they get it. You know, they get the fact that their team is a business. They get the fact that they have a product, and they see the value in reevaluating that product and seeing what they can do to make it better, because there is growth in their team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So just wrapping up, Jenny, if someone were to get in contact with you and want to learn more about the Aquius, and I'm sorry if I've pronounced that wrong, like I said, it's the accent.
No worries.
How would they do that? How does someone actually contact you and say, hey, look, yes, I'd love to sign up to be a certified practitioner or a performance specialist or a coach?
Yeah, so I think we might just have to do an Australian tour and do one flight and see a bunch of teams and host a couple of courses. I think that's probably the best way to do it.
Ah, look, hell, I've got a spare room.
Perfect. Okay. So yeah, reach out to me, jennyb@aqueous.co, JennyB as in boy, @aqueous.co. Like I said, I answer all the emails. I read all the emails. So that's really the best way to get in touch with me. And we can start a conversation from there. And hopefully you and I can put a trip together.
Yeah, for sure. Look, once again, I'd really like to thank you for your time. It's been absolutely fantastic talking to you. And I wish you all the best in the future. And yeah, from looking at your website, I am very keen to find out what's involved about a certified Aquius coach. I mean,
yes,
that's the least I can do. My sports science and everything else isn't probably quite at the same level as yours, and I'll never pretend to be. But at least a certified Aquius coach would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, hey, think of it this way. My coaching will never be where yours is, and that's the beauty of the field. So,
exactly.
All right, Steve. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I absolutely love your platform. I look forward to listening to all of your upcoming interviews and your past ones, and I definitely encourage anyone.
So I really hope you enjoyed that interview with Jenny. Like I said, lovely lady. If you got any questions, feel free to send me an email or comment on the page or hit me up through Twitter or Facebook, or Pinterest, or any of the mediums that I'm usually on, all of them. Just look up Aussie Swim Coach and I'm there. If you need a hand from Jenny, her details will be in the show notes. So really hope you have a great day, guys, and I've got to get down to the pool, so I better get going. Enjoy your day, and I hope you're doing better.